Thank you. are. We've never known a time, a moment, a day, a second that we didn't experience the goodness of God. And because of our whole lives, even before we were thinking about you, you've been there. So we thank you for this last week. We thank you for our strength and help, being in our right minds, God. We even thank you for the things you're about to do. You haven't done yet, but you are about to do. We are looking forward to you doing amazing things in this time we are together in this upcoming week and upcoming month and year, God. Heaven alone, leave us here as you use us to your glory and to your honor. Say, have your way. Have your will. Submit it to your will.
Some issues with our podcast and our website live broadcast. And we just want to let you know if you try to look at the website, have separate podcasts or whatever, that we'll be working pretty intently on those things in the next couple of weeks. But we want to make sure that every time we tune in, things go smoothly and we can have enough to impart. So we'll get in touch with our providers and see what we can do to get a smooth transition. So we thank you for joining us this morning and sing that and honor in our presence. Let's get into the Word of God from our scripture sheet. Comes to Exodus. Chapter 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meetings. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would
watched Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses. When all the people saw the pillar cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again to the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. You have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft on the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Morning, Bill. It's February, but we're calling it February. Amen. So what we want to do, hopefully we'll do this each year when February comes around, is we want to look at a particular area of our faith and explore that area and get to know more about our God. And this time, this faith, what we're going to be looking at is the glory of God. We're going to be exploring the glory of God. So after this month is over, I hope you'll know more about the glory of God. Amen. And that particular subject. Amen. So let's get into this. These four weeks this month, we are going to have a series, Created for More. But I want to tell you, you were created for more. Amen. That's a good thing. When you can tell those that don't know Christ, amen, that they were created for more. And the more that you were created for is experiencing the glory of God. That's what we were created for. We were created to experience the glory of God. Only believers can truly experience it in the way that we have the privilege of experiencing it. So we're going to look into that. Even what is, amen, a few moments later on that, we'll get in, what is the glory of God? This is important. You have to know what the glory of God is as you get the chance to experience it. Well, let me set the stage. I'll give you the context. expect anything in the death of a firstborn unless you had the blood on your door sealing and saying that when God would pass around and he had delivered them out of Egypt in a miraculous way because he took them across the Red Sea on dry land. Amen. Living God. But God said, wait a minute. They done went. After all I've done for them, I borrow my evil, borrow my problem, the Red Sea, on dry land. I feed them with manna every morning, except for Sunday, and I give them twice. I mean, except for Saturday, I give them two times, but on Friday, so they have less than left on Saturday. I give them water out of the rock. I show them the way to be healed when they have been my servants. I provide for them. And now, these people have went and made another God. And God says, Moses, I'm tired of it. Sick of it. And Moses said, I tell you what, I promised them the promised land, but I'm going to send an angel to take them. And they'll be able to get tired. They'll be able to go to the promised land. And I thought I already made my promise. I already gave my word. But I'm not going to be with them. Because they stiff-necked me. They stiff-necked me. In other words, they're hard-headed. They don't want to listen. They don't want to do the right thing. And then, you know, as all of us in here, amen. But be careful. Because when we listen to that word, we're actually looking at a mirror of ourselves. It's easy for us to see them as being hard-headed. But we need to ask the question, as we look at the man in the mirror, are we also stiff-necked and hard-headed? And doing what we want to do. God said, I'm tired of it. I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to send an angel, and they conquer the land, all the different peoples in the land. I'm not going to go with them. Because if I go with them, they're going to do something. I might hurt them. They don't got on God there. They don't really got on God there. They don't care. I'm going to hurt them. So I'm going to do what I promised to do, but I'm not going to go with them. But then it says that Moses had found favor with God. And Moses talks to God as a friend. I think verse 11, and I'll take the name. Let's look at that verse again. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speak to his friend. Amen. Moses was experiencing, this is our first one, he was experiencing the friendship of God. Moses had found favor with God. Now, remember I talked about favor a long time, a few months back. Favor doesn't mean you're his favorite. But favor means he did you a favor and gave you a kingdom assignment. And as you follow that kingdom assignment, you get to know him better. And you also get to experience him in a greater way. Amen. So that's what had happened to Moses. Experienced a friendship with God. And you see, he's talking about it. When you talk to your friends, you know, you just talk. You don't have to put on a real friend.
Yeah.
You don't have to dress it up. You fancy words. You just talk, baby. You just talk real talk. Because with your friend, see, the friendship between both of us was a deep friendship. And when you have that deep kind of covenant friendship with friends, you can talk to them about anything because you know they're not going to be surprised or they're not going to abandon you because of your fault and failure. They're going to listen to you. Because they're true friends. Got a deep friendship. So you don't have to dress it up. So that's what it was between Moses and God. Moses didn't have to dress it up. Moses, God knew who Moses was. Moses knew who God was. And God said, Moses said, listen here, God. If we got this kind of friendship, as he's having the conversation with God, look at verse 12. Moses said to God, see, you said to me, bring up this people. But you have not let me know
how you going to do this? How you going to work this thing? That I may know you in all the fine fairness, I consider too that this is for your people. And he said, this is God responding to Moses. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So you want to know how I did? Moses, I know what I said. Since we talk about that screen, my presence. I told you I won't send an angel. But now that I see you coming to me, I'm going to do more than send an angel. I'm going to go ahead because you are going to see. They got on my nerves. But since you have faith and we got a kind of relationship with you, I tell you, my presence is going to be there. Y'all with me so far? That's the point of the conversation. And then God, you see, he made a commitment. God said, commit. Okay, Moses, my presence is going to be there. All right, that's an important part. I don't want y'all to miss that. That's God as a friend committed. I see where you're at. I know where you're at, but I'm God. I know you, what you're trying to talk to me about. I know you was upset because I said I was an angel when I was assured of the sheriff of my situation. I was going to say an angel, but I wasn't going to go. But Moses, I already knew you were going to come to me. But I knew everything. And I already knew this change. I was going to change until this. But it was just that point in time, Moses. I was frustrated with him. So I'm going to go with you. My presence is going to be, he committed his presence to them as a friend. Now, let's look at the next verse. Okay, I put that verse down there. But this is an important verse. 15. And he said, if your presence, this is important, you're all circle this. He said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. You know, if you're not going to be with me, if you're not going to be with us, just leave us where we are. That's dependency that we're going to do. He's depending on God. He's depending on the presence of God. Depending on the presence. We got to do this every day. Whatever your sphere of influence is, you ought to be saying that every morning. If you're going to work, amen. That ought to be the first thing. God, I need your presence in office. God, I need your presence in the classroom. God, wherever I go, God, I need you. Now, if you're not going to be with me, I just want to stay at home. If you're not going to be with me at the office, if you're not going to be with me in the truck, if you're not going to be with me in the company, if you're not going to be with me in the classroom, God, then let me stay at home. But I don't want to go nowhere without your presence. I don't care how much education you got, how mature you are, how much money you got. See, the enemy will try to get you to pick on those things. But I said, no, I don't care nothing about all this stuff. Unless you go with me, I'm not going. And we need to have that same mindset as a church. Say, Lord, whatever we do as a church, unless you're going to be and we can experience your presence, we can't do nothing without you. As an individual believer, you have to do that. And you need to do that first thing in the morning. I told you a couple of times. I shared that with you how important that is a couple of times. And I used that example. Those of you that know a little bit about basketball,
There's a thing called a press. And the press, that means most championship games, they let you come about halfway to that halfway line, and then they start playing defense. But a press comes, a press don't mean that you get halfway. A press don't even want you to take the ball out. A press is all over you. Because he don't want you to make no progress. And the only way you can break a press, or the best way to break a press, is to pass the ball. So every morning, I have to remember, when I get up, the enemy put a press on me. He's not going to give me 12 o'clock to get it right. He's not going to give me a couple of hours to finish showering, whatever, to get it right, get dressed to get it right. No, as soon as you open your eyes, the enemy is already ready to get the ball from you. He want to take the ball out of your hand and put it in his hand so he control your life. So the first thing I do, because when you break a pass, break a press and we'll pass. I pass the ball to God. And I said, now, enemy, can you get it out of God's hand? Can you get my life out of God's hand? Can you get my day out of God's hand? Can you get my moment out of God's hand? I put it in God's hand when my eyes came open. But I tried to make it for 2 or 3 hours. And I messed it up early in the morning. You know, when you mess up early in the morning, you, your whole day's been messed up. You just get worse and worse. But put it in his hand early. Say, God, I'm putting it in your hand. I'm making you a present. It's yours. My day is yours. Everything belongs to you. Everything I got assigned today, let's talk this thing over. Maybe some things I got in mind, and I had in mind that I need to do. You don't want me to do, so let's talk it over, God. I want to run some things by you. Maybe you want to change your schedule. Change my ideas. So, the first thing I do is I put it in his hand. Because if you don't, the enemy, so he said, hey, I spit it, and I took control of your life.
Yeah.
But he can't get it out of God's hand. So say, God, I'm like, oh, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. If you don't want, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. God, if you're not with us as a ministry, doing the things that we feel that you assigned for us to do, we dream about making disciples, making our community better. But God, we can't do this without you. So if you don't, if you're not present, we just won't shut the door with us. If you're not with us. Because without you, we can do nothing. We're depending on you, trusting in you. That's why we have to pray. Because you know what happens when you don't pray? You say, God, I don't need that to do it by myself. God said, okay, try. Because it's just like an oil change. If you don't get one now, you won't get one later. Or if you don't get one later, you ain't gonna have to buy a whole engine. Y'all with me so far? I'm trying to show you how important it is to experience God's presence. Moses experienced God's friendship, and he also experienced God. God said, okay, I'm going to be with you. In 15. And see, if you're present with that man, 16, for him, how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, in your people? Is it not in your going with us? So that we are distinct, I know people, from every other people that are on the face of earth. This is what happens when he goes with you. When he's present with you, you're different. Distinct means different. When God's presence is with you, you're different. You remember Rahab. Yeah, that was Rahab. I may be getting that wrong. Yeah, I know my mind ain't trying to make sure. Yeah. It's Rahab. The one that had in Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had the little house in the wall.
Yeah.
Rahab when she was talking to the spies, she said, when spies came to prominence, they said, oh, we can't do it. We got big people, big giants in there, so we can't do it. They will kill us if we go up in there. When they was over Rahab's house, Rahab said, listen, we were afraid of y'all. And we heard that God was with y'all, and we saw what God was doing with you. So we were afraid and trembling. All y'all had, we were already afraid and trembling. But they heard what kind of people Israel. God had made Israel so distinct, so different, so powerful, that all the other nations were fearing them. I'm trying to tell you, when you have the presence of God in your life, people will be able to see the difference. You'll get places that you're not qualified to go. Why? Because God's presence. It wasn't okay. It was good that you had the degree, good with God. All those things helped. But there was a whole lot of people that had those same credentials. But you know what gave you edge? And sometimes even when you don't have the credentials, what gave you edge? Presence. Favor. God's grace. You know you shouldn't have been in that office where you were at. But God's grace. His presence. You know you should have been there making the money that you were making. Amen. But see, Mike, amen. You know when you first filled out the application, you looked around the room and you saw how many people were there. But why did you get chosen? Because God's presence. When you got God's presence, you opened doors and can't nobody else open, can't nobody go. When you got God's presence, He straightened and worked things out and do some amazing things. So that Bible said, I don't want to go nowhere where your presence is not. Israel was known because God was with them. And all the nations around feared because they said, we see what their God can do. Do people see what your God can do? You look, I'm not telling you how you can tell, baby. See what your God can do. They'll be talking about you, over the corner doing this and that. I know. See, they know your God is powerful. I said, how do you know the best? Because when they get in trouble, they'll come to you. They say, can you go to your God and talk to your God? But I got a situation happening in my life that I can't handle. I don't know him like that. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for my relatives that shit? Can you pray for my marital situation? The same people that were laughing at you. Because you're at church on every Sunday and you're so good and good and Christian, but when they get in trouble, because you're so distinct and they see what God is doing in your life, they'll say, won't you pray for me? They'll go to the one they're partying with. They don't go to the one, amen, that they go out and drink with. But they go to the good and good when they talk about. The one time I go to church, you got to buy all the church. And they don't talk about somebody, but when they need help, and all the doors are closed, when they need help because of that bad doctor's report, then who do they come to? The one who God's presence with, and He's made them distinct. Because there's something about you. That's why they talk about you all the time. Because they were jealous. Because you had peace that they didn't understand. You had joy. Why are you so joyful? You had joy. Even when they saw you going through problems, you had joy. Because they didn't know you knew God's presence with me. Amen. And when you got God's presence, you know we were made do it for the night with joy. So I just want to go ahead and even though my morning ain't got here, I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm not going to wait till my morning and get here. I'm going to go ahead and sing and praise and worship and enjoy God now. Hey. Because I know who He is. Hallelujah. And so, Moses says, I've experienced friendship with God, and now God says, I think Moses asked him one more time after he said, my presence gonna be with you. Because he said, my presence gonna be with you. But the second time he said, wait a minute, not about me.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, I'm going to do everything you say, Lord. I'm going to be with you and Israel. Yeah. Even though they got on my nerves. But because you asked for it. Look like that intercede for people. Intercede for folks. Pray for other people. Don't just pray for yourself for God to do something for you. But amen. Make a ministry of intercession where you're interceding for other people. Because you'll find out when you're interceding for other people, you'll get blessed by your intercession for others. Even if you don't ask for anything yourself, God will bless you. Because you're being a blessing. And God always give a blessing to who he can get a blessing through. Intercede for us. All right, let me go ahead. Bring this thing on a little further. So, he experienced the friendship of God. He experienced the presence of God. Depending on the presence of God. Distinct because of the presence of God. But then, after all this, let's see what he's going to ask for now. Of Moses that never got tired of asking. 17, and God said to Moses, the very thing that you have spoken, well, you have found favor in my sight, and I know your name. You're friends, so I'm going to do it, and I got favor. I'm going to do it, Moses. Okay, and Moses didn't hear it from Moses. In 18, Moses said, please. Moses, you already got presence. You already got God's friendship. I like Moses because Moses always wanted more. Moses said, hey, that's not good. I want some more. Moses kept going back for a second. I want some more, God. That was so good. Give me some more, God. Can I get some more, God? And I want to tell you, when you go back for more, God, they never run out of second. The third, God never runs out of this. If you keep coming back to God and say, I want more of you, I want to be closer to you. I want more of your presence. I want to experience more of your power. I want to experience more of your friendship. You can keep coming back to God because God got an ample supply. He got more than you could ever ask for. Thank you. Ah. All right. Please show me your glory. Show me your glory. What is the glory of God? Let's listen to that. There are a couple of definitions. This is my first one by Herman Babich. It says that it's the infinite. Infinite means no end. Indescribable. I can't even describe it. Perfection and beauty of all of God's attributes. In other words, God has a lot of attributes. Attributes like love, mercy, patience, grace, kindness, justice. He has all of these attributes that make him God. And they are infinite. His love is infinite. There's no end to it. You can't even describe it. It's so amazing. His mercy is just like it too. It's infinite. That's why he gave everybody that asked for new mercy. He didn't say, well, you know, Tim, I can't give you no new mercy. But I already gave you some power. No, he got plenty new mercy. He got plenty grace. He gave it, well, you know, Bernice, I gave Tristan all the grace, so I'm out of grace today. He had plenty of grace. It is amazing. You can't describe it sometimes. You don't understand it. You don't understand why he's so good. You don't understand why he's so amazing. It is perfect grace. Truth is truth. It's love. all of God that is in justice, in his grace, and his holiness. All of them are so perfect and beautiful and wonderful and amazing and indescribable. And when you put all of his attributes, everything that makes his character together, that's his glory. All that stuff that makes God God and so special and so amazing is his glory. We were made for his glory. We were made to experience his glory. We were made to experience amazing. Because God's glory is amazing. We were made to experience amazing. That's why when you see something amazing, wow, it just gives you joy. Because we were made to experience amazing. You can see, I remember one time I was in some kind of show. Maybe it was an award show. And Luciano Pavarotti was on the stage. But he didn't make it to the show. And his plane or something was late, and they told Aretha to come and sing for him. And Aretha came on, and she sung that Luciano Pavarotti song. I don't know nothing about my opera, and I don't be understanding words and stuff. Bro, when Aretha started, amazing. When you see amazing things, when in sports, when you see amazing jump, an amazing play, catch, somebody run a record speed. Whenever we see amazing things, amazingly talented people, amen, in every field, when we see amazing things, it excites us because we were amazing. God gave us a hunger for the amazing because we were made to see his amazing. That's why we get excited when we see amazing things. Because God made us that when we see amazing things, we get excited. Because you know, once we see how amazing he is, we'll be the most excited of all.
Yeah.
He made us for his glory.
Yeah.
He's amazing. His love is amazing. His grace is amazing. Yeah. His patience is amazing. His kindness is amazing. His sovereignty is amazing. His holiness is amazing. Every single thing about God is amazing, indescribable, and and Moses said, God, I just want to see your glory. I just want to see your amazing glory. Show me your glory. That's it. That should be our prayer this year.
Yeah.
As individual, as a church, the Lord show you. Show us your glory. Show us you're amazing. Show us how amazing you are. We know we've only tasted a little.
Yeah.
But you're so amazing. We've only tasted a little bit of it. We want so much more of it. We're hungry for your glory. See how good you are. So, that's kind of the definition. The second one, real talk, the infinite beauty and greatness of God's many perfections. So what that both of the same. So you kind of understand what his glory is? It's how good great he is. Just see how good great he is. Now how does he display that? He displays that in this passage, by in other passages in the Bible, by the perfect glow of brilliance emanating from God's holy presence. You know, when he's present, when God is present, that sometimes is a visible manifestation of his glory by an emanate from him as a brilliant light. His light so brilliant that man can't encounter it in him. It's so amazing. He can't. So Moses said, Moses, I can't give you full glory. You can't have a full glory. So what I'm going to do, know how amazing I am. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
I'm going to come. You ain't going to see me when I'm here. When you get him. But when I'm finished with it, when I'm finished with it, you will see what I left behind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Two. Thee. Displaying our goal. Thee. Read. The results left behind is that which makes God renowned. The results that God leaves behind once you experience the glory is what makes you known. That's why people praise God. God, what he leave behind?
Yeah.
You ain't, when he's doing it, you won't see him. He ain't getting out alive. God is always up to something. You don't even know what he's up to. He says, we got to show me your glory. And then we wait around. I'm praying, God, show me glory. Man, I ain't seen none of that. I'm trying to tell you, when you don't see it, that don't mean he ain't working. Oh, that's what he got to hear. You got to know by faith that he's working. Even before you see it. But most of the time, we don't see it until after. It's over. And you look at the results of what he left behind. Y'all understand?
Yes, sir.
Look, look, look.
Yes, sir.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the fire and furnace. But his presence is there. His presence is there. And because his presence is there, they were able. Now, he didn't save them from the fire. But he saved them in the fire, and then he and Brandon, they come out in the cold, and he smell like smoke. So when the king, when they looked at it, there was four in there, and then the fire coming out, and they were all right, and nothing happened to them. The results of it was they praised God and said, this is the God. This is the true and living God. But we see results of his. This boy was in the graveyard. Couldn't fit. Had legion of demons in him. Couldn't himself. All naked and graveyard, walking around, acting crazy. But then Jesus came in. I'm the Son of God. And told the demon to get out of him. And then it said the next day, I'm talking about the results of his glory. Once he passed by, once you have an encounter with him, once you see his breath. They said the man was sitting, clothed, and he looked right behind him. You take out the afterglow. But I'm gonna leave an afterglow. Stuff will still be going. And you know, I've been there. Oh, God has been here. Oh, because the rocks are shining. God has been here. Even the sand is shining. God has been here. Because can't nobody ever leave this kind of situation. Can't nobody ever change your life like that. Can't nobody ever heal like that. Can't nobody ever change the situation like that. Can't nobody give breakthrough like he give breakthrough. Can't nobody open doors like he opened doors. Can't nobody change mind and life and deliver like he can from addiction and stronghold. God is so great. Lord, this year, show us glory. We want to know all about your character. We've heard about it, but we want to demonstrate it for you. It's mine. We're your friends, God. We're just asking you. Because the things we want to do, it's going to seem difficult, sometimes even impossible. But if we've had an experience with your glory, we know it can't be done. We know it can be done because you're with us. So be with us. Because if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. If you're not with us, we have nobody to care for. That's what we're made for. That's what we're made for. The experience that there's no greater joy than to experience the glory of God. His friendship, his presence, and his glory in your life. Who loved us so much? sins, he's paying the price for your sins. If you're willing today, say, come into my life, be my Savior. I know I can never be good enough to earn heaven, but I know you pay for my sins. You took care of all my sins because you took my sins away from heaven. And you can be my Savior. So I'm not going to depend on what I can do anymore. I'm going to depend on you. I want to accept you today as my Savior. My Lord, come into my life. Help me become the person that you made me to be. I want to experience that more that the pastor talked about. I was created for. I want to experience friendship in your presence, in your Lord, in my life. Like was being talked about this morning. So God, I don't know all the things to do, but I do know I want you to be the Savior. Just come to my life today. I'm putting my faith in you. I don't know it all, but I'm going to a Bible believing church where I can learn all I need to know. But today I want to make a change. So right there, if you want to broadcast the website to record, you can do that. Then we'll take a step one go and find a Bible believing Bible teaching church that you can take. We'll be welcome you in our neighborhood in Mahia, Texas. We'll welcome you to the Baptist, say a missionary Baptist church. We love you. You're born in our community. Amen. As we experience God's friendship, God's presence, and God's glory, we try to do the thing that God wants to do. So we pray for you that you will work today. Now let's get to our observation. This is the Lord's Supper. He gave us a command to do this each time. We do it in remembrance of you. We will remember how he suffered. In pain and penalty for our sins. We know he was God's only son. He was a precious, his value, invite you, as we always do on Super Bowl Day. If you want to wear your jersey that day, represent your team. Amen. We're going.